Can I bring your attention now to a verse in that chapter that we read together from Ezra. Verse 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach it in Israel, statutes and judgments. As with all scripture, there are many lessons to be learned for our benefit in this little book of Ezra. Ezra and Nehemiah describe the return from out of exile to Jerusalem, which, as you will be aware, took place in three stages. I'm not concerned here to go through the historic detail, but we do need to recall one or two facts to set the passage in context. In 586 BC, the kingdom of Judah went into exile in Babylon. The Jerusalem temple was destroyed. The rise of the Persian Empire under Cyrus and his capture of the Babylonians in 538 BC marks the beginning of the end of the exile of the post-exilic period. It was the Persian policy to allow people that were exiled under Babylonian rule to return to their lands and to rebuild their places of worship. This was all under God's control. This took 90 years. When Jeshua, the high priest, and Zerubbabel, who led the first return in 538, had finished their course, and Haggai and Zechariah their testimony, God raises up Ezra in 458 BC and Nehemiah in 445 BC to continue the return. So that sets the whole thing in context. The nation had sinned in the time of the two kingdoms. Remember when Judah and Israel split? And God had judged them and sent them into exile. Ezra now had the king's permission to return with as many Jews as he pleased. These were to carry, to take money to be used to free all that served in the temple from public taxes. Wouldn't we just like to receive visitors like that? He also had to appoint proper magistrates in Judea. Ezra had been chosen by God, and now he seeks to serve God. What does he do? He prepares his heart to do this work of restoration in this second period of the return. This is the issue I want to bring before you this evening, my friends. Here is a man of God who prepared his heart to serve God, to seek the law of God, and to take it and to teach it to the people of Israel. Well, my dear friends, if that's the case with this great man of God, should it not be the case with you and I? Should we not look to prepare our hearts to serve the Lord and to do his will? It is the preparation of our hearts to serve God day by day, and it is the subject of our consideration. It was the subject of our consideration this morning. But let's see how one man carries this through. I'm speaking to believers, but the word of God also applies to people, young and old, who may not be believers. If they are not seeking God, then it's time to begin now. Ezra's heart preparation. Our concern is with what lies behind this text in Ezra 7:10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. We need to consider what it means to prepare our hearts to seek the law of the Lord. It sounds simple enough, and probably you think, well, do that in any case. But do we really appreciate what it means to engage the heart in heart preparation? This is, for a Christian believer, a serious matter. In some areas of the Christian church, there is too much light-hearted, flippant reference to giving our hearts to the Lord Jesus. Yes, we want to do that, but We need to remember, and I'm sure we do, that our conversion's all to do with the free grace of God. It is important to remember it is not our works or our obedience or our understanding of the Word of God that will save us. In these days of easy conversions and the light use of the English language, there has arisen confusion as to what contentment means. And you can only find contentment by being in the work of God, in the light of God, and having your heart changed to the glorifying of God. In the light of Scripture, we can see that there is here much encouragement for believers to be prepared to meet with and to talk with God. The Apostle Paul instructs the church of Philippi, remember, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Luke records that John the Baptist's role was to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. There are many more. This passage that we're going to look at this evening is important. We should prepare our hearts to meet him each Lord's Day before we come together. Let's see how Ezra, that great man of God, set about doing this. First of all, let me clarify one or two terms that will help us to be thinking along the same lines. The word heart in the Old Testament can mean a number of things. It can mean the heart, as in a medical sense. The Hebrew sense also includes the mind as part of the heart. In some instances, it also refers to the chest and sometimes to the conscience as being the heart. Also in the Old Testament, it has a dominant metaphorical use in reference to the center of the human mind, the center of spiritual life, the entire inner life of a person. I'm giving these details because I consider it important for us to understand the meaning and the thought in the use of the word heart in the Word of God. It means the seat, really, of sensibilities. For Ezra prepared his heart. It would be appropriate to say that he prepared his whole being. From verse 6, we learn that Ezra was a skilled scribe in the law of Moses. In order that we might understand what it means to prepare the heart, we need to understand from this statement that he didn't just know the law, he also understood it. And that's what's important for us, my dear friends, about this Word of God. It's all right to know all the stories, but we need to know the whole content, the whole concept that the Word of God brings to us. It's a message from God that he created us, that we fell from him, that he made a way in which we could come back to him, and he sets for us a manner in which we should prepare our hearts to meet him. Ezra appreciated its significance to living a life of acceptance to God. He was aware of its eternal consequences to help men's souls to be prepared for heaven. It is recorded that he was a ready scribe. Doesn't mean to say he was a fast writer with the pen, but that he was well versed and prompt and skillful in interpreting the Word of God. He had applied it to his heart. He was adept in using this law. He was well versed in the implications that lay behind the very context of the Word of God. The word law applies to the whole word, not just to the Ten Commandments. It stands for divinely revealed instruction, whether it is from the doctrine or exhortation or by promise or command, the author of it being the Holy Spirit. It was a feature of Israel's faith, this law that was given to them. Her unique privilege was to have this divine revelation to direct their path through life. They were a chosen people, my dear friends. And it's clearly an example here that God gave them this great privilege. And it was a feature then of their faith. It was their unique privilege to have this divine revelation, to give two examples. Moses had made clear the benefits of divine revelation to them in Deuteronomy 4:8 we read. And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? What he was clearly saying was there was no other peoples in the world which God had opened his heart to at that time and chosen to receive his revelation. And Joshua had also obeyed and set the law before them. In Joshua 8:32 we wrote, and he wrote upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. The term law of Moses and the word of God are synonymous terms. It was an absorbed totality in the thinking of these men of God. In so doing, they looked for the coming of the Messiah. The law, nor the obedience of the law, nor obedience of the laws as it is written, did not save them. We can see that the hand of the Lord was upon Ezra. Consistently, in Scripture, whenever a man walks with God, then the hand of God is upon him. Remember Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles. Nevertheless, there were good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land, and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. And another passage in 2 Chronicles. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the first ways of his father David, and sought not unto Baalim, but sought the Lord God of his father, and walked in his commandments, and not after the doings of Israel. What a testimony, my dear friends. What a testimony we should be desired to set of us, that we were a people of God, that we walked after the manner and the likeness of God, and sought to serve him. Jehoshaphat had prepared his heart to seek God and remove the wooden images that the people had worshipped. He was told that he was going to be attacked. What did he do? He set himself to seek the Lord. He bowed himself before the Lord. What was the result? Victory. While they praised God. My dear friends, do we seek God when we're faced with a problem? Think about this when a problem arises in the coming week, as it's likely to amongst us, as likely to something come up. Do we seek God? Again, we read in Ezekiah, in 2 Chronicles, prepared his heart to seek God, and God granted him his desires. The fulfillment there, my dear friends. He sought to seek God, and God rewarded him. When God inspires and directs the heart of man, then always great things are bound to happen. So Ezra had prepared his heart, like these and other great men of God, to seek the Lord by absorbing the word of God into his thinking. Now, how had Ezra absorbed the word of God into his thinking and so prepared his heart to meet with God? He was obviously a good student of the word of God. We read that he was skilled, as it's required. But he also had discipline of mind to apply himself to the law. Thirdly, he had designation of time to apply himself to the Lord. It can't be done without time being spent on it. He also had a determination to learn it. He also had a desire to know God and a perseverance to do God's will. Notice all those things that are necessary for us, my dear friend. Discipline, a designation of time, a determination to learn, and a desire to know God. If we set those principles before us in our walk before God, day by day, my dear friends, what a change there would be in our lives. We should note that he acquired these godly characteristics while under the most severe regimes. This is Ezra we're talking about. He was in captivity amongst a people hostile to the God of Israel and the God of Ezra. He did not go around complaining about his condition and his social deprivation. What did he do? He set his mind to preparing his heart to meet with God. He had a priority in life. Seek God first. He was a priest of God, who could trace his lineage back to Aaron, the priest of Moses. However, in exile, he was redundant. He could have bemoaned the fact that there was no altar or temple or mercy seat or any other of the requirements of Hebrew worship. No, he faced his situation as it was and recognized that the center of worship was to be in a heart prepared to meet with God. He prepared his heart by absorbing the word of God so that God could use him. What great lessons there are in this word, my dear friends. What had Ezra achieved by absorbing the word? In spite of being in captivity, he had built up a personal testimony to his God. The king certainly recognized Ezra and whom he served, and addresses him as a scribe of the God of heaven. Now verse 14, "Forasmuch as thou art sent of the king and of his seven counsellors to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem," what, note this last clause, "according to the law of thy God, which is in thine hand." His authority to act rested on the word of God in his hand. We know that was also in his heart. He had absorbed it, had become part of his being. The king had noticed it. That Ezra testified to the greatness of his God, there can be no doubt. In his conversation and his action, it was clear that the mind of God was in him. In the letter from Artaxerxes, you'll notice that there are 15 references to God, and of these, 9 references speak of your God, thy God, as being of the God of Ezra. Not only had Ezra determinedly applied himself to the study of the law, he'd also made it known to everyone, even to the king. He was concerned to testify of his knowledge of God, whom he served. He saw it important that those that were over him understood from where we all came and to where we all may go. Absorbing the word of God changes a person's mindset, and they become recognized as a different kind of person. That is, work out, my dear friends, as we're given in the New Testament, that is working out your salvation. That does much for the progress that we have in serving God. Wherefore, in Paul writes, "My beloved, as we have always obeyed, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling." My dear friends, you can only work out your salvation by faith after you have been saved in the coming and believe in the coming of the Messiah to restore you. In preparation, his heart and his testimony of God's goodness had shone through. It had reached the king's understanding, and the king could see the strength of Ezra, and thou, Ezra, in verse 25, "after the wisdom of thy God that is in thine hand, set magistrates and judges which may judge all the people that are beyond the river, all such as know the laws of thy God, and teach ye them that know them not." Clear instructions of the king, who was concerned that the land might have a people full of Ezras. Of that, such conditions should apply today. Oh, that we had a world full of Christians. In preparing his heart, what would Ezra have needed to understand? He would have needed to understand the condition of his heart, recognize its sinful condition. The scriptures tell us that Ezra prepared his heart. He knew the stubbornness of his heart. He was aware of the depravity of man's heart. He knew that wicked thoughts dwelt in man's heart. Beware. In Deuteronomy 15:9 we read, "Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart." You see, the scripture tells us we have a wicked heart. Ezra would also be aware of the idleness of the heart and the need for perseverance. That is also part of preparing the heart, stirring it out of lethargy. because the hand of God was upon him, we can consider that this seeking after the Lord of God was a seeking unto repentance of his sin and a recognition of his own sinful heart. There is no other way, my dear friends, to prepare the heart than recognize the sinfulness of the heart and how much God wishes it to be changed. He would have looked forward in faith to the coming Messiah, our only hope of salvation. There are so many references in the Old Testament to support this aspect of seeking God, preparing the heart by prayer and daily repentance. Isaiah 2:3. And it shall come to pass in the last days and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. They were taught to walk in his paths. Well, what have been the benefits of Ezra's heart preparation? The king recognized him as a man that could be relied upon to do things diligently. Gave him money, gave him people to go with him. He entrusted a great deal to him. So in the preparation of his heart to seek God, he had shown himself to be an honorable and just man. He had shown himself to be a person who discerned the will of God, not only for his own life, but for the lives of his people. Our text in verse 10, as we see, he was concerned to prepare his heart to seek the Lord and to obey God's law. This man Ezra was a remarkable man. Here he is in a heathen kingdom, yet he seeks God's law and lives by God's law. He needed a devout, humble and penitent and a clean heart. He understood the Lord and the writings of Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and those who had all gone before him. He was familiar with the need to prepare his heart to seek the Lord. And as we go through life to gather so much dross in our thoughts, in our beings, that we need too constantly to call upon God to cleanse us by the sanctification of his Holy Spirit and so prepare our hearts for God's presence. His familiarity with his need would have made him aware of the history of his nation. He would have known that on one occasion, the people had sent Moses to God because they were unprepared. A God had said to Moses, oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Here is the statement of God. He desires hearts that are prepared to serve him, to love him, and to walk before him. That might have been written in Deuteronomy by Moses, but it applies to us, my dear friends, here and now. Clearly God desires his people to have a heart to seek him and to do his will. Jesus does that when he taught his disciples to pray, thy will be done. I think that's one of the most significant statements that the Lord Jesus made in relationship to our understanding of where we are and what we are. The criteria in life is that the will of God should be done, and that the will of God should be done always and in every respect. Ezra had such a heart. In the same spirit-filled heart that we need to serve the Lord in our lives. A heart that is repented and recognized that our salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ and that we need the mind of Christ within us. Well, some application. Ezra was teaching the people of Israel to serve all the things in the law of God and was probably the first time that this had been done thoroughly since the time of Moses. They'd gone into a terrible decline. God had punished them and sent them into exile. This could be done by Ezra because he was a man who had prepared his heart to seek God. He knew the word of God. It was available, as was available to him in the year 486 BC. So then, what is our first responsibility? One of the tasks of believers is to have a concern to build up his faith in God and to love and to have a love for his fellow beings. We talked about that this morning. to encourage each other, to build up the treasury of God's word in our hearts. Our treasure is having the mind of Christ within us. That is the most precious thing, my dear friends, that any human soul can ever contemplate. Having the mind of Christ within us. That is a measure of our response to life, the things that happen to us, and our relationship with others by the standards of God's word. We do this by looking through the spectacles of Scripture, by using the awesome privilege of prayer, and responding to the work of God, the Holy Spirit, in our hearts. The more we understand Scripture, the better we shall be able to respond to the events of life, ordinary events that surround us day by day. It is not just a matter of reading a book. It is having the good hand of God upon us to fill our hearts with holy thoughts. Our salvation is not gained by what we do, rather by what Christ has done. And after our salvation, we have a clear responsibility to desire the good hand of God upon us, to desire an increase of love for the Lord and to do His divine will. Not only to learn and to study His word and to fill our minds with scriptural truth, but also to put it into practice in our own lives. Sometimes we come to pray and we try to pray and we feel heavy and a deadness. When this happens, we must persevere and continue in that desire to pray, and God will open our hearts and bless our endeavours. It's Satan that puts the structures around and brings the deadness to our feelings and the loss of words that we want to express our thoughts and ideas to God. But we should persevere. He gives life to our thoughts, and the Holy Spirit enables prayer to flow. This is the process, my dear friends, of sanctification that's taking place within us, preparing our hearts for heaven. You recall that Ezra sought to teach it to the people, but the secret behind his success was in the fact that the good hand of the Lord was upon him. See verse 9, "For upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem." What to? "According to the good hand of God was upon him." He couldn't have done it, my dear friends, if he'd not had the hand of God upon him. In conclusion, firstly, Ezra saw the imperative need in his heart to love God, to love his neighbour, and being concerned to see that people were right with God. Of first importance is that our hearts are right with God. We cannot serve God until we are a child of God through the repentance of our sin and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This you all know. Then we would do well to emulate Ezra in the desire to prepare our hearts to seek the Lord of God. The words "seek" here has the meaning to be constantly doing it. Not just a daily touch of it, just enough to get us through the day, but a constant desire to be involved in the thoughts of God. Thirdly, we should proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to our community, remembering the words of Jesus in the Great Commission, "Go ye into all the world." I think Charles Wesley cried this out, didn't he, in his hymn, "O thou who camest from above, the pure celestial fire to impart, kindle a flame of sacred love on the mean altar of my heart. There let it be, thy glory burn, with inextinguishable blaze, and trembling to its source return in humble prayer and fervent praise. Jesus, confirm my heart's desire to work and speak and think for thee. Still let me guard the holy fire, and still stir up thy gift in me. Ready for all thy perfect will, my acts of faith and love repeat, till death thine endless mercies seal, and make the sacrifice complete." What a beautiful, succinct collection of verses, my dear friends, which brings out the necessity to have a heart for God and a heart prepared to serve God. So where do we stand today? If ever there's been a situation where there exists a remnant people, and there are many examples in history, then the people of the Christian faith today are a remnant people. How imperative it is, therefore, that like Ezra, we prepare our hearts to seek after God's word, treasure it in our hearts, that we might have a good hand of God upon us to enable us to walk before him in holiness, godliness, and to do his will all our days, and to pray that his will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Let us pray. Oh, our eternal, gracious, loving, heavenly Father, we read your word and it brings out to us and shines out to us, O Lord, clear lanterns for a pathway in which we may walk before you. The desire of our hearts, O Lord, is with Ezra to have your hand upon us, to have our hearts prepared for you, to seek to walk before you as an example of who you want us to be. O Lord our God, we thank you that we have so much contentment in our heart because we know the Lord Jesus Christ. He has touched our hearts. He has set for us principles and concepts, O Lord, in your word, which we desire to appropriate and make them within our own hearts the very part of our being that structures our thinking, that enables us to be a people after your own hearts. O Lord our God, forgive us where we fail. Strengthen us in our weakness. Grant unto us that ability to resist temptation from the evil one, and enable us, our Father, to walk before you as a people with your hand upon us. For we ask these things to the glory of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.